You know, if we had a bucket of gold here rather than a bucket of Bibles, I think we'd be happier. But not for long. Not for long. May God help us to understand these things and understand the precious gifts that we have and the precious gifts that are yet to come. Well, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Last week, we looked, after 2 weeks, we looked through the parable of the 10 virgins. I want to continue here in chapter 25 and move into the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Brethren, God has placed us here in this earth and on this earth for a reason. There are works that God has for us to do and things God wants us to be able to experience. And in order for us to be able to do and experience those things, we need the grace of God. We often think of the word grace and it's in its simplistic form as the idea of God giving us something that we don't deserve. God giving us something that we don't deserve. And honestly, we don't deserve anything that God gives us. But the word grace goes beyond that and it talks of the power of God in our lives allowing us to do and experience things that we could not without Him. Brethren, are you doing things and experiencing things that you could not experience without the supernatural hand of God? Without the supernatural hand of God. Is God working through you in such a way that you have to say, that was none of me. That was none of me. That was all of Him. Thank you, God. Much of our life is taken up with things that we can say, well, I got that done. I got that done. God wants us to experience things where we say, thank you, God, for getting that done. To work miracles within our homes. To work miracles on behalf of our friends and our family and whom we are praying for. Brethren, the day must come where God is able to do these things on a regular and often basis. There are many things that we must care for and do. This past Wednesday night, we spoke about doing what we do with all our might. And brethren, there are times where I do the things that anybody else could do. Anybody else could do. It could be the washing of the dishes. It could be the sweeping of the floor, the cleaning of the toilet, and the washing of the shower. But I know if I do it, and by the end I'm not mad that I have to do it. And why are there all these things on the floor that I didn't put there? Why don't the kids pick this up? And I'm not frustrated with the idea that I have to do a little cleaning, which is stupid, by the way. If by the end it's done and I'm happy, I can tell you something. That's a miracle. And I praise God for His grace. And may God help us to have the grace to do those things. Amen. But I tell you the truth, if God is able to work in those things, can He not work in ways that we would say, that's greater. That's better. Praise God, I was able to wash the dishes without getting mad at who knows who. Praise God. But how about this? Praise God that God used me to share the gospel with someone too. That by the grace of God, that person, when I asked them to come to church, they said maybe, and then they came. That you, who the person that you've been praying for day after day after day, finally says, why don't we do something together? And you get opportunity to speak of the goodness of God. Those are miracles. It's the grace of God. And I tell you something, those are the types of things that God wants to do. And He's able to do. As we learn from this parable, and we won't be able to learn all of it this week, may God help us to understand that He has given us a life to live on this earth, to give our life for Him and what He wants done in the world. If you take a look there in Matthew chapter 25, start in verse 14. The Scripture says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them him which hath 10 talents. And unto every one that hath shall be given, and she shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall it be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray together. Father, I ask that You would use this time in each one of our lives that we might be profitable. Help us to understand what such things mean. And help us to live out our lives not for ourselves, but for You. And then, not to just live out our lives for ourselves, but also to live them out that others may be rich as well. Help us to know the riches we have simply because we know Christ. Help me to preach to be understood by You, by these. Help me to do so and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me not to say anything that I ought not to say, but everything that You would have me to say. Help me to speak freely. Please, Father, do these things. Bless us this day. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The parable of the talents. First, notice in verse 14, the Scripture says, the kingdom of heaven. Remember, Jesus came down off the mountain, out of the wilderness, preaching, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Brethren, remember that we could go to the place with a golden street, with mansions for everybody. We could go to the place with the crystal sea. We could go to the place where there's no sin, where there's no tears, where there's no pain and no disease. But if there was no Christ, there would be no heaven. I'll say the whole thing again if you want me to. But let me just say the end. If there were no Christ, there would be no heaven. It's true. But you know what? I'm not sure that we really believe it. I think we might be satisfied with a golden street and a mansion. We might be satisfied if we don't sin anymore. We might be satisfied if the throne was empty, but we had all those things. But I want you to know, when the Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when the Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like, it is never speaking about anything that does not include that Jesus Christ is there. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like, He was speaking of Himself. We might like to talk about all the other things and look forward to seeing those things, but when our flesh is taken away, all those things are not going to mean much. And when we get to enjoy them, it's all going to turn back to praise to Him. Now we receive rich things, we have things, we get things, we enjoy things. It doesn't turn back to praise to God. But then, it'll all turn to praise to Him. We go days without giving praise to God, without sincerely giving Him thanks. Oh yes, we all sit, and or many of us, we will get time to pray, and we know that if we're going to pray, we ought to start by thanking God, because the Scripture says that hallowed be Thy name. And so we ought to give hallowed words towards God. And we might say, God, thank You for this and thank You for that. But how many of us have said those things and don't even remember by the time we're done praying what we thank God for? No, the kingdom of heaven is nothing without Christ. The kingdom of heaven is nothing without Christ. And by the way, the kingdom of heaven without Christ would all rot away anyway. The only reason why heaven will last an eternity is because He's there. For the kingdom of heaven, is as a man traveling into a far country. I tell you that that man traveling into a far country is Jesus. Jesus told His disciples, I go and you cannot follow. Peter himself said, Lord, wherever You go, I'll go. He said, I'll die for You. Jesus said, no. No, by the time the cock crows, You'll have denied Me three times. There's a place that we cannot go, not yet. We cannot go there yet, can we? We're still here. And if there's a far country, it's heaven. There's no place that we cannot get to within half a day in this world. Within a half a day, we can get there. And so when we're talking about a far country, we're not talking about any country in the world, right? Because there's no place in the world today that's very far. We can get there within a half a day, but we can't get to heaven without the supernatural working of God. And Jesus is there, and He says in John chapter 14 that He's gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we may also be. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to receive you unto Myself. He's gone into a far country, and though we may long to go there, we can't go there yet. Here's something that's encouraging. We may be there before we're done with this. Amen? We may be there before we're done with this. Today may be the day that Jesus Christ comes down and receives us unto Himself, that we may be where He is. Do you want Him to come today? Or is there something you want to buy that keeps you from wanting to come? Is there something that you want that keeps you from wanting Him to come? Brethren, the things that we can't see are far better than what we can see. But the servant, the man, he goes into a far country. He goes into a far country. And so he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Who are these servants? There's these three people that he's talking about. One he gives 5 talents, one he gives 2 talents, one he gives 1 talent. Who are these servants? I would propose to you that a servant is anybody or anyone coming to Christ in sincerity or in guile to do good works in His name. Is it possible to do good works in the name of Jesus Christ and not really be saved? Yes, there's no doubt about it. There are people throughout Scripture who did good works and were not really Christ's. And a servant, now does Jesus know who His servants are and who are just feigning, who are just faking it? Yes. But here was one who was given one talent, and I would propose to you that this man wasn't saved. He was cast into outer darkness, where there's gnashing of teeth. Almost every commentator that you'll talk to will say that's hell. And no saved person goes to hell. If you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe by faith that Jesus gave His life on the cross for your sin, if you ask Him to save you, believing that He died on the cross for you, guess what He's going to do? He's going to save you, right? What does that mean? Well, one of the great things it means is that when you die, you go to heaven. You go to be with Him forever in that place with the golden street and the mansions made for everybody. You go there. And so I believe that a servant is anybody who sets out to serve God, who sets out to serve God, whether they're doing it in sincerity and truth or whether they're doing it in guile, they set out to serve God with works for Him. Notice back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Jesus said, after He spoke about false prophets and how they come in sheep's clothing, right? They look like sheep, but they're wolves. They look like they're children of light, but they're angels of darkness. He says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." Now, notice that what the Scripture says, "He that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven," we'll get to what the will of your Father which is in heaven is. But notice what it says. "Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not given the Word of God in Your name? And in Thy name cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works?" And so when Jesus said, they are the only ones that are saved, the only ones that are going to heaven, who are the ones who do the will of My Father, is He talking about good works? Can He be? He says there's going to be people who prophesy in His name, cast out devils, do many good works in My name. But what does Jesus say? Verse 23, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity." Hold on. Jesus, let me go back through it again. Before You cast me out, let me go back through it one more time with You. Maybe you didn't hear Me. I just want you to understand, I cast out devils in Your name. Don't you understand? Jesus, hold on. I prophesied in Your name. Jesus, listen to me. I did many good works in Your name. What do you mean you don't know Me? The only way Christ is going to know you is if you by faith believe that He died on the cross for your sin. That is what it means to obey. And you have to obey the gospel. You can either obey the gospel or disobey the gospel. Anybody who hears the gospel and dies without Christ, dies without having accepted what Jesus did for them, the time is gone. They cannot go to heaven. And they will be cast into outer darkness. It is a place where the fire burns and never burns up. It's a place where you fall but never stop falling. It's a place that's so dark you can't see. It's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the worm eats but never eats up. It's a place where that lasts forever and ever and ever. And everybody who says, "I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin," will spend an eternity there. But there's nobody in the world that God wants to go there. And so He said, "I'm going to do everything I need to do to make sure every person has a chance and can go to heaven. I'm going to send My Son and I'm going to have Him bleed on the cross. Because His blood is precious, and if His blood is shed on the cross, it's good enough for the sins of the world. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Nobody who disobeys the gospel is good enough to go to heaven. No matter how much they prophesied in His name, no matter how many devils they cast out, no matter how many good works they've done. They're not good enough, and we're not good enough. And so it is possible. It is possible, and it is, and we are able. We are certainly able to do good works and serve in the name of Jesus Christ, and yet not be saved. We talked about it last week, but if you're here today and you say, well, I'm going to heaven because I go to church every week, or at least most weeks anyway, and that's a lot more than most people go to church, I'm going to heaven because of that. I want you to know you're not going to heaven. You are doomed unless you by faith believe that Christ died for your sin. You may be here today and you say, I give more money to this church than most other people do. In fact, as far as I know, I give more money than anybody. When it comes to building fund, there's nobody giving more money than me. I'm going to heaven. You better believe it. No, I want you to know. Not maybe you're going to hell. You are doomed. Because you are believing you're going there by your works rather than by faith in Christ. But today can be the day you call upon Christ as your Savior. And so here there are these servants. And we'll get more into them and more into their lives next week. But I want you to look what it says. It says that the man who went to a far country delivered unto them his goods. Delivered unto them his goods. That which was good, he said, this is for you. I'm going. I'm leaving this with you. Brethren, we don't have time to go through every good thing that he's given to us. Did you know there's more than 50 things, that the day, the moment we got saved, became ours. There are maybe two or three chapters in all of the Pauline epistles where Paul doesn't speak about something that we get because we got saved. He's left with us with so many goods. What's he left us with? Number one, he's left us with the Holy Spirit, hasn't he? The Holy Spirit. He said, if I go, I'll send you another comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. We talked about Sunday night 3 weeks ago about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'd encourage you to be here Sunday night. There's a lot you miss if you're not here. And Jesus said that I'm going to send you another comforter. He's given us the Holy Spirit. You know what else He's given us? He's given us the Word of God. The precious, golden Word of God. It's precious. It's good. And He's given it to us. He sent someone to tell us about Jesus so we could get saved. We have salvation. We're going to heaven. He's given us a church to attend and to be part of and to grow with and to be fitly joined together. He's given us every good and perfect gift that cometh from above. He's given us so many things. We could talk about it all day long. Those are the goods that Jesus has left. Now, I want you to understand that the goods and the talents are two different things. Because he could have said, I leave with you these talents, but rather he said, I leave with you these goods. There are riches beyond our imagination that have been given to us. Let's take just a moment to go through the whole book of Ephesians. You say, wait a second, that's going to take a moment. We're just going to read a few verses. And then we'll come back to Matthew. But I want you to listen. I encourage you, take your concordance or look it up online. Put the word riches in. In Ephesians, you'll find it spoken of many times. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. His grace is rich, and He's given it us all through His blood. In verse 18, the Scripture says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know that what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. We've been given riches. We've been given a great inheritance. In chapter 2, in verse 7, the Scripture says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. There are more riches to come. They're all ours. Grace and His kindness toward us. By the way, do you want a great rich? You want something that's very rich? How about the kindness of God? Have you ever had the kindness of God? That day was better to you than the day you got your biggest paycheck. The kindness of God. In chapter 3, in verse 8, the Scripture says, "Unto me, who am less than least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." It is so rich that you can't see it all. You can't see it all. Those movies that you watch where they finally come into the tomb at the bottom of the depths of the catacombs, and they open the door and there's no light, but all of a sudden it's so bright because all the gold, the riches of Christ can't be seen. It's greater than that type of thing. Greater than that type of thing. And then Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that He would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory. The glory of God is His brightness. He wants to give us that. Did you know that? He wants us to shine as bright as He does. Now, we can't shine as bright as He does here, but He said one day we'll be as bright as the stars if we take the talent that He gives us and use it for Him. Though the riches of God are beyond scope, we have more than we think we do. We are rich, brethren. If you're saved today, you are rich. What do we do with it? In Matthew 10, chapter 8, Jesus said unto him, "Cast out devils," He said, "freely." He said, "Do good works." He said, "Go and live for me, because freely you have received, freely give." That's Matthew 10, 8. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, what we've got has been given to us for free. We need to give that freely. And if we give that freely, that investment is beyond anything that we could imagine. Now, verse 15, we come into these talents. "And unto one He gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and unto another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." He said, "Here's some talents," and then He said, "I'm gone. I'm going to leave you my goods, but I'm leaving." And that's what Jesus did. He's not here with us today, but He's left us His goods, which are good enough. He said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so we understand that God's grace is sufficient for us. And so He gave the goods, He left, He gave the talents, and left. What is a talent? Oh, may God help us with this. You say, I don't like the idea of that poor soul having gotten one talent. A talent is speaking of gold, of something that is precious. In the Scripture, it's speaking of one of two metals, gold or silver. Do you think this master who went into a far country was giving talents of silver or of gold? What do you think? Oh, if it's Jesus Christ, you can be sure of something. It was gold, right? What is a talent? I looked it up. I said, I want to know what a talent is. In Israel, a talent of gold was 200 pounds of gold. 200 pounds of gold. My goodness, that's quite a bit of gold. You say, what in the world is this basket of Bibles doing? I did that on purpose. God has given us gold. Now, I can pick this bar of gold up, no problem. It weighs, no more than just a little over a pound. But if this were gold, it would be about 25 pounds. It would be, assuming I'm right, and I don't know if I'm right on that, but I tried to figure it out. But about 25 pounds. You know, if I were to put 3 of these together, and I tried to lift them up. Stephen, could you lift up that weight? 75 pounds that are like this? Maybe Stephen could, but I couldn't. Right? I couldn't. Right? Why couldn't I lift it up? It's so dense that the idea of picking this gold up, 3 of them together, would be too hard. Right? Bill, you work out. I bet you 375 pounds. It's not on a bar. It's like this. It's not the type of thing you're picking up. Right? The weight of it is immense. And the man with one talent, it wasn't one. Or 2, or 3, or 4, in order for it to be 200 pounds, it would have been 8. In order for him to move it, he would have had to take one at a time. Now, we'll look at this more tomorrow, but what did he do with it? He buried it, right? Or he would have had to get some instrument in which to place it. Right? 200 pounds of gold just for that one man. Don't feel sorry for him. Do you know how much money 200 pounds of gold is? I looked up how much 1 ounce of gold is. 1 ounce of gold in today's money is $1,216. So you take $1,216, you multiply it times 16 because there's 16 ounces in a pound, right? Then you multiply that by 200. You know what you get? $3,891,000 in $200, actually. This, don't feel bad for that one with that guy with one talent, right? Don't think he received just a little bit. Don't think he got just a smidgen. He got everything he needed. He got everything he needed. Brethren, we've been given talent. We've been given talent. I'm not talking about talents. I'm not talking about being able to catch a football or throw a basketball through a hoop. I'm not even talking about being able to speak well in front of others. We've been given the golden preciousness of the gospel. We've been given faith through Jesus Christ. And you know what He wants us to do? Those five, that guy with five, what did he do? He took what he received. He took what he received and he traded it. Right? What does that mean he did? He took this and he gave it. Right? He took this and he gave it. And the amazing thing is, when we take what we have and we give it, when we take what we have in Christ and we give it, you know what pops up here? Another one. Right? Did he ever have less than five talents? Did he ever have less than five? What did he end up coming back with? 10. When I'm talking about giving of ourselves, I'm talking about giving ourselves to others so that they might know what we know. What is the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? So that they might have what we have. What is the Great Commission? He said, I want you to be my witnesses unto Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. What did he mean? I want you to go and tell others about me so that they have what you have. Right? So that they have what you have. What is the Great Commission? He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I want you to give what I've given you. When was the last time you were given something from the Word of God and you gave it freely? You gave it because you wanted someone else to have it too. You wanted someone else to have it too. They gave it. And they gave it freely. Why did he give five and two and one? The Scripture says, according to their several ability. Brethren, a person in this world is given gifts. I believe every person in this world is given something to take what they have and give it to someone else. It may be to be able to preach. To be able to take what you have and give it to someone else. I tell you the truth, it may be hospitality. Did you know that hospitality is given as much credence as preaching? Why hospitality? So you can take what you have and give it freely. Right? There's so many things that God has given us. God has given you ability to take your talent, the gold that He's given you, in its immensity, and to give it. To give it out, and to give it freely. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. By the way, if you're here today and you don't have a Bible, we'd love you to have one. And we'll give it to you freely. Won't cost a dime. We just want you to have one. We want you to have a Bible. Sheila, you coming to get a Bible? Okay, good. Never know what's going to happen here while I'm preaching. Give away Bibles, people are going to start walking the aisles. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And so he says, if there's anything from the Word that you know, that's the oracles of God. This Bible, this is the oracles of God. If there's any ministry that you do, do it out of the ability that God gave you. Amen? In other words, do it by the grace of God. In other words, that your life would be lived in such a way that it could not be lived without God. That's what he's saying. When he says, when he starts talking about ability, this is so important, brethren, I beg you to listen. He's not talking about something that naturally we have. We're talking about something that God gives us. In other words, our lives are lived in such a way that it couldn't be lived without Him. That makes sense? That our lives are lived in such a way that it could not be lived without Him. He is not talking about what anybody else could do without God. Listen. Men have done, quote, unquote, great things without God. Great things without God. Canals have been dug without God. Gold has been dug out of the ground without God. Buildings that tower into the sky have been built without God. Medicines have been devised without God. Now, all these things God was behind. But in the end, those who did it said, "See what I did? Now give me the money." When we do what we do by the ability that is given to us by God, by the grace of God, which is the supernatural power of God working in our lives so that we can do and experience things that we could not do without Him. When we live according to the ability that God gives us, we are doing something that cannot be done and would not be done if God didn't do it. Those men, these three men, had no ability in of themselves to take that talent of gold and make it into something. That one man who was given just $3 million, right? He said, "It's impossible for me to do anything with this. I can't do anything." Was he right? He was. He said, so I'm just going to bury it. He said, I can't do anything with this. I'm just going to bury it. And he was right. He could do nothing with it because he did not have the power of God living within him. And so he just buried it away. Why did God entrust with him $3 million that could have been stolen? Here's why I believe God allows people to come to church and to even serve within the church and yet never be saved. He does it because He's gracious and He's merciful and He's kind. And He wants that person. It may be you. He's entrusted you with this talent. And you know it's impossible because you know you're not saved. In fact, you've tried, but nothing's come of it. It's not failed, you're just unprofitable. You're unprofitable because you're not saved. He allows you to have this talent and to fail with it, to do nothing with it but bury it, because He wants to see how unprofitable you are. And when you understand that you are no more than a beggar, that you are no more than like that Laodicean church, turn just real quick and we'll close. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17. This Laodicean church, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Brethren, riches is not real gold. Riches is what God can give us and what He does give us so that we might live for Him. He said, buy of me gold. He said, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Brethren, our raiment without Christ is black. The blackness of sin. Our hearts are black. Without Christ, we are dirty and not fit for heaven. And that the shame of thy nakedness do appear. It's even worse. We're not even clothed in black. We're naked. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I want to ask you a question. Is God's grace and mercy upon you because you're here? You've been given a talent, but it's been buried long ago. And He says, I want you to see how unprofitable you are, so that you may buy of me gold, so that you may trust that I am the Savior, so that you may call upon me. Brethren, I ask you this question. Those of you that know you're saved, are you giving freely? Are you giving freely? I think most Christians have just put the money in the bank hoping to get a little bit of interest. God says, I would have preferred that than you bury it. But I do think a lot of Christians just have some money in the bank. They're not giving of their talent. They're not looking for 100% return. But there may be someone here today that's not even saved. They're an unprofitable servant. And if they were to die today, they would be cast into that place of outer darkness with gnashing of teeth. I beg you today, call upon Christ to save you. Let's bow our heads. Again, there may be someone here who's not saved. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Why today? Because tomorrow may not come. And if you are here today and you've never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, I would like to lead in a prayer, not to belittle you or act like you can't do it, but because someone helped me in the same way when I was 19. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that He rose from the dead, proving that He's God, and that if you, by faith, ask Him to save you, He'll do it, if you believe that to be true, then this morning, why don't you ask Him to save you? With every head bowed and eyes closed, I promise I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to come up here. I'm not going to sit you in a seat and say, do you really believe? I just want you to simply trust Christ. But if that's your case today, you're here and you know you're not saved, would you do this one thing? Everybody's head bowed. Would you simply do this? Look me in the eye and I'll see you. And I'd like to pray with you and for you. Anybody here today say, yes, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Anybody this morning?